Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week and get to spend some time with you. For those of you who listen to us quite often, and a lot of the agents and brokers who download in later dates, I am going to, today we're going to spend a whole hour on a very wonderful, interesting story, a lot of survivalship, et cetera. And I'm blessed today that we have Randy Zachary hosting the show today with me. And typically, and for those of you that don't know, this is Realty Universal Radio, and we are shows about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back. Many times we split it up in half, real estate, and then the rest of the show on community happenings, et cetera, giving back. Today we're going to focus the whole hour on Patty McKee, who survived the campfire in Paradise, California. I'm going to step back a little bit and let Randy and Patty speak more than me jumping in. And we're calling it Beauty from Ashes, a Paradise Campfire Survivor's Story. Patty McKee survived the campfire in Paradise. We'll hear the story, her story, of not only rebuilding her life, but her son's. Brent suffered a traumatic brain injury at the age of 19. After years of mourning the life he lost, he realized he's living God's dream for his life, that it wasn't in vain. There's a reason for this. His book is called Coma Cure, and it will be out soon, sharing how we find God's purpose and joy in the strangest places. Patty and Brent will be hitting the road with the No Coincidences Tour later this year. This is so special on so many different levels. I believe it's going to touch a lot of your hearts. And so for me, who usually talks and talks and talks, anybody that knows me, you know, they talk about that, where they say people love dogs because they wag their tails and they don't spend so much time with their tongues. They're just wagging their tails all the time. So today I'm going to be quiet, may chime in just a very little bit, and turn it over to Randy and Patty McKee. Welcome.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you betcha. In fact, let me go get Randy. He went down to get some lunch. Hang on, I'll be back in about top month. Oh, wait, no. I am Randy. Okay. Hey, yeah, it's good to be back on the air with Natalie and Patty. And so Natalie and Patty both are realtors, which is interesting, and that's part of part of Patty's story, obviously, but really not the whole story, so there may be some overlap in that regard. But just to kind of give you a little, give everybody a little bit of a kind of a background, is that Patty and I met back when we were doing the Christian radio station in Chico, California, which is where I'm sitting here this morning. And Patty was just, a listener and supporter and sponsor and encourager and friend and all of the above. It has been. And we recently kind of reconnected. In fact, it's interesting because I was down working. When I left Chico, I went down to work at KKLA in Los Angeles. And I was dabbling at that time and doing some comedy. I think the very first time I ever did any comedy at a club, Patty, you actually went to that, didn't you?
I did. Yes. Several of us did.
Yeah, there was a bunch of folks there, and it was kind of cool.
Yes.
Kind of cool to have you guys there. Hey, so, Patty, again, because of the overlap when we talk, and I really want to be sensitive to that. I don't want to interrupt, but I'm going to err on the side of kind of asking a question or making a comment and pausing and really letting you share as much as you can and want to. And I want to get to Brent's story in just a moment, but the whole campfire thing is kind of still the, for a lot of people, especially up in this area, kind of the 800-pound gorilla in the room. It, you know, the TV cameras are gone. You know, the national networks have left. But there's still a town that's been decimated, and people are still trying to figure out what to do. And you're kind of one of those. Would you share with us maybe, first of all, kind of your experience, like what you were doing when you realized, you know, that this thing was happening, and kind of just walk us through a little bit of your experience with the campfire and then maybe kind of where you're at with your own personal rebuilding of your life, having lost your home there.
Okay, certainly. The day of the campfire, it was a Thursday. I was getting ready for a charity luncheon and had no idea there was a fire. This was probably 9 o'clock. My sister called and said there was a fire. She's down in Paradise. I'm up in Magalia. And she said, I have to evacuate. So I said, okay, do you want me to help you? No. She said, you can't get to me. So I still had no idea. You could see the black smoke. And I could hear the propane tanks going off, you know, like little bombs, but it didn't really connect. I just, up in Magalia, we actually still had blue sky. My sister actually did go down through the flames. She literally had to drive through the flames to get out. Meanwhile, I was packing up and fiddling around and then said, well, I guess I should get on the road. And I could hear the entire town emptying. You could just hear the cars going, which is unusual. So we went out the back way. It took us, I think, 4.5 hours. We left at 10:30, and we got to Chico about 3 something. And still did not think my house would burn. I thought it was going south. Most of our fires go down. So in my mind, my house is going to be there. And if you saw what I packed in my car, you would know I did not think my house was burning because there wasn't a lot in there. I thought, I'll come back tomorrow. Yeah, my sister's house, if it burns, we'll live here while she rebuilds. Just never understood that kind of devastation. And as you know, that fire, it swept through and destroyed most everything. It didn't leave us, though. I mean, we all talked to each other about campfire brain because our brains are constantly replaying that over and over, replaying what we did right, wrong, the rebuild, what we have to do, the insurance. It's just, it's kind of a nightmare that never ends, you know, the whole idea. And we try to look forward and not backwards, but sometimes, especially if you have to drive up there, you just get kicked in the stomach and you can't ignore it. Another interesting thing is in real estate, the day I realized that the fire had destroyed my house, too, and it destroyed my office. I work for Century 21. Probably shouldn't say that. But it's gone up there. And I thought, well, I'm out of real estate. I'll just go somewhere else and do something else. And then the one listing I had did not burn. The one listing,
wow.
I went, really? It didn't burn? So God kind of pulled me back into real estate. Someone called me up, hey, can you sell me a house? And so I actually have real estate going, which is pretty amazing. The mentality of the people in that area is so strong for rebuilding, so strong for capturing what Paradise used to be again, just in a new package. So I tell people I still have 3 bedrooms. They're just in different houses. So I live in 3 different people's homes while I'm figuring out what I'm going to do because there's no place to rent here, as you know. And so.
Yeah. So you're literally right now in that process of still trying to figure out whether to rebuild up there or what you're going to do, right?
Yes, I'm hoping to rebuild. I'm actually hoping to move down to Chico, down to Paradise to be with my sister. You know, that was kind of an emotional block there. Wait, I can't help you and you can't help me. We literally have to go out different routes. That's the way it's structured. So I'd like to be at least closer in case we have to do this again.
Yeah, when I drove up to Magalia, because I was curious when I returned, and we've been, I think I've shared this before on your show, Natalie, but we're moving back to the Chico area and the house that we've, you know, owned all these years, but we wanted to give our tenants lots of time, so we've been couch surfing, and one of the places we've been staying is Monica's brother, who lives in Paradise, and was able to save his house because he had a retired firefighter living next door to him who happened to have that barrels of that flame retardant foam stuff that you spray on
your
house.
Amazing.
And basically,
so amazing.
Yeah, saved their house. But I wish everybody had been aware of that stuff. But I share that because I literally drive, like last night I was driving through Paradise and you just, it's still like very little has been, it looks like very little has been done, although these crews have been working every day on cleanup and cutting trees and putting, restoring power lines and all that stuff. So there's a lot of work still going on, but there's still, it kind of looks like nothing's been done because there's just all over town. Stuff is burned and it's just still sitting there, cars and buildings. And I drove up to Magalia because I wanted to see like how far up this thing went. And there was a significant chunk of Magalia, right, that was burned as well.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's a neighboring town. People say Paradise, but Magalia was also. And I know the one issue, and we've talked about this, that, ever since the 2008 fire, where, some significant things were burned and people were kind of warning with the fact that there's been such a drought in California for the better part of a decade. And so all of these forested areas were just super dry. And then, that this kind of a thing was potential. And the one way out down the Skyway, right, was widened. And you were kind of involved in some of those discussions with local people, right? I mean, the businesses at one point, as a result of the that fire in 2008, they decided to widen the road so that there was a quicker and more room to get out if need be. And then there was challenges and things where they, I guess, wanted it to be just a one-lane highway, and that's kind of what they did, right? So that was one of the issues, is it was this one-lane narrow highway to get out.
Yes, to through the middle of town. But
yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to create a little downtown area, and I applaud that. It would be wonderful to have that cute little destination area, but it's difficult to do that when you are the exit route for the entire ridge.
Yeah.
Was there a good evacuation? I know I'm just chiming in real fast, but I won't. Was there a good evacuation with it being that narrow, and did the evacuation happen quickly the way it should have, or?
Well,
could they learn? Are they going to learn from that like they did before? Or
I don't know. Personally, I just feel like it's pretty hard to take four lanes down to two lanes down, without causing a bottleneck. But I know that I have to say from personal experience and the people I've talked to, the thing that kept everything together was everyone was so nice. No one panicked. Everyone let each other in. There was lots of merging. There was just a consideration for everyone around you, not the panic, I got to get out of here. So that helped. I noticed that going out the back way because we took all the lanes going up north and then going down the front lanes. I heard that over and over about how nice people were to each other. And, sometimes people, their cars would run out of gas. That's why you saw so many cars up there because they only had a quarter of a tank and it took hours and hours to get out. So they would abandon their car and jump in with somebody else and somebody would just say, get in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and because of that log jam, if you will, in the road. I mean, and you can, there's videos all over the internet of, and if you were just to Google, you know, Paradise Campfire videos, I mean, there are videos of people that they took, you know, with their cell phones of them trying to get out, you know, and
right.
just to see the flames on either side and the traffic not moving. I mean, when you say people didn't panic, that's
wow.
amazing because, you know, I would have panicked. I mean, you know, you're just scared.
You would have still been nice.
But
a greater problem, Randy, wasn't just that one bottleneck. That really wasn't the greater problem. It was the fact that people got lost. The smoke was so thick they couldn't even see where they were going. And they would get off on these little roads that didn't go anywhere, and they would get lost. So that was a huge problem, was the thickness of smoke and the narrow little roads in Paradise.
You mentioned driving through the flames. Like, how did they do it without mm-hmm. without the gas tanks blowing up or anything? I mean, it just, I guess there was no time
know.
To think of doing anything but go through, right? It's just, wow.
Right, you just kept going. I have one girlfriend who her side of her car did melt. I mean, literally it melted. But why gas tanks didn't explode, I don't know. Lots of miracles that day.
Yes.
A lot of miracles. Yeah, a lot of angels. A lot of angels. Mm-hmm. A lot of stories of people who were just about to say, hey, this is over. I'm, you know, they're calling their loved ones, saying goodbye,
mm-hmm.
and somebody would pull them out of a car or something, you know, and yet there were other people who, you know, this is horrific to think about, but cars literally melted around people, and, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
how horrific is that? Just, and anyway, it was sad, and we're, you know, it's still just very, you know, even Chico, the neighboring town, I guess in some ways there are benefits where more people have come to town and people are trying to buy real estate now and all that. So, you know, in some ways there are financial benefits, but the overriding sense, and I don't know, Patty, you tell me, even around Chico, there's still this kind of cloud of sadness, you know?
There is a huge cloud. And, you know, you take a 20,000, 30,000, I don't know exactly how many people have moved down to Chico, or like me, living in somebody's bedroom, extra room, RV on their property. But that presents a huge challenge in traffic and just getting restaurants, you know, into a restaurant for dinner. But it also is a blessing because it's boosted their economy. You know, it gives
right.
and it takes. And they have been very generous hosts to us. And we're grateful for the spirit in Chico of let us help you out.
Yeah. And there are people wandering. I mean, literally right now, there are people that are legitimately homeless who were Paradise people who still haven't, you know, don't have family, don't have a place to go.
Many. You know, Paradise had so many seniors.
Yes. And that's the other, tragedy. I mean, obviously, I saw on 60 Minutes that there's this new technology where you can test ashes for DNA. And this is another horrific line of people that were lined up because they had not been able to connect with their grandmother, mother, who lived in Paradise for a day or two or three.
Mm-hmm.
So they had no idea. They couldn't go up. They had no idea if they've survived. And literally, I think, I don't know who did it, the county, the fire people, whoever brought down remains in Chico, and people were lined up to do a test to see if, you know, if these remains were there because they just didn't know.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. That's amazing. Oh, my gosh. How hard
it is. Terrific. And it's a 60-minute special where they were talking about this is a brand-new technology where you're allowed to immediately test the DNA of, you know, people who, frankly, you know, burned remains of people who lost their lives. Just heartbreaking. And so anyway, God, again, has a way of, you know, we say beauty from ashes, and I love that song. I think Crystal Lewis made it popular years ago in Christian music. But, you know, I think that's all of our stories to some degree, that God, you know, creates beauty from ashes of our lives. And And Patty, you know, that's what's going on with your life personally. And man, we could continue to talk about that, and we kind of want to transition a bit, because there's kind of a dual meaning here with this Beauty for Ashes title, I think, today. Yes, we've talked about your, you know, your story of surviving, and but the idea also of and you and I met and talked about your son, Brent, and you know, what God's doing in his life. And I love the idea of what Brent feels like God's calling him to do, which is to really to communicate to young people that even the worst, what you think might be the worst thing in your life, just a terrible tragedy, can actually be God using you, loving you, you know, getting you into your purpose. And so would you talk about Brent? I mean, he basically a traumatic brain injury at the age of 19.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit of kind of, you know, what led up to that, what Brent was like prior to that, and what he sensed God saying with this new direction with the book and the tour and all that.
Yes, okay. So Brent, my little sunlight, he was nothing but darkness as a teenager. He was very unhappy. He got into drugs early. And due to a bad family life, you know, one thing my friends say is, we can't believe how honest you are, and you both are, about the terrible things in your lives. Well, you have to be honest with what was bad to show what happened good out of it. And he says that he talked to God and said, I cannot get off drugs. You need to do this for me. So he had a car accident. He was not driving, which he was a terrible driver. At one time, Brent had 19 traffic tickets and lost his license. He pretty well lost it regularly from 18 to 19. And he was not driving. I was grateful for that. It was a true accident with a truck in the way, couldn't see, street sweeper on the freeway, and they had to try to get around the street sweeper and ended up banging into the back of a flatbed truck that was actually broke down on the Gore Point. So total accident, and he was in the hospital for 14 months in a coma. Really, he was still in a coma when he came home, and he had a lot of therapy. When Brent woke up and began to communicate with me, I could tell that he had changed and he was seeking God. He started the church, found a Sunday school class that was dedicated to handicapped people, and prayed for a Bible study. He wanted a Bible study. I said, I don't know how to get you a Bible study. It had to be in the house. You know, he didn't move around very much. So one day I was getting ready for work, and Brent said, Mom, when you go to work, would you have your Bible study? Because we had work at Bible study. I mean, we had Bible study at work at our lunch hour. He said, would you ask that Bible study to pray for me for my Bible study that I want? I said, okay, which was very odd because I hadn't been going to Bible study. I had been working overtime, and I had just woke up that morning and decided to go to Bible study, and he didn't know that.
Wow.
I went to Bible study, and there was a woman there that I had not seen there before. She was a Bible study teacher, and she was asking for prayer for her husband's book. And I asked for Brent's prayer, and before I even left that day, she had come and said, I think your son's prayer is an answer to my husband's prayer that I teach another Bible study in the Gospels. And Brent got his Bible study because he had been praying for probably almost a year for that Bible study. And from that, he got baptized in our swimming pool, and he wanted to write a book, and we began to write a book. We wrote the book of his story, how God saved him from a life of drugs. It took us 20 years. It wasn't an easy process because I had to, write a chapter, take it back, have him read it. He'd tell me what to change it. So we went back and forth with him telling me a new idea for a new chapter, how to edit it. And I really didn't have a lot of enthusiasm. Sorry, God, that I didn't, because it was his story, not my story, and it was hard. And in 2017, Brent had pneumonia twice and almost died. And I said, Lord, if you don't take Brent, I'll finish this book and get on with it. And so he did not take Brent. Within 3 months, I had finished his book. And within a year, I had finished my side of the book, because we actually have a twofold book. It's a story of him with his wife walking through the coma cure, and the story of me as his mom walking through his life through the coma cure, and how God called us both and wove that together. And he said, there are no coincidences. This wasn't a coincidence. This was God's plan for me. And in fact, he made me go out and get bumper license plate covers that said no coincidences. And it's all Brent. I'm the errand. He is Moses. He wants to lead the kids. He's desperate to get out there. The book is just a vehicle to get him some speaking engagements and talk to kids. Tell them, don't walk off the path. Stay on God's path. It's going to be a lot easier for you, and he will make sure that you get to heaven. So,
God bless him.
Wow.
God bless you. How long was he in a coma? Not just curious.
Well, he was in a – comas are like a deep-sea diver goes way down and then they come up. So
right.
A little bit at a time, he opened one eye. He had his accident in June. He went to the coma hospital in August. They decided he wasn't going to wake up. So after about 6 weeks, they sent him to a long-term. And then he opened one eye. He moved one hand. So by the time he came home the next year, he could sit up without strapping his head back. But he still was sleeping most of the day. So, I mean, in a way, it was at a coma level. There's, you know, about 7 coma levels. And so he was still probably around 6. And even now, he has left side aphasia. So the left side of his body does not really respond to him. And he has to have 24-hour care. He has to be picked up and put into a wheelchair. He can help with his right side, but he still suffers the effects of that.
So you, I remember when we were talking a couple weeks ago about this, you mentioned something that really stuck with me when you said that, and there was a term you used, like that he's living his dream life. He wants to tell kids that despite what they might think about what he thinks about his situation, he's actually living his dream life right now, and he wants to communicate to kids that we're not all going to, right? I mean, a dream life can be a lot different than you might think it's going to be, right? Talk about that.
Sure. Most of us in this culture think of a dream life as rich, pretty, active, rock stars, you know, lots of fun times. But for Brent, he just loves people. He loves to be around people. He can't stand to be alone. If we're alone in the house, let's go find some people, Mom. He dresses very flashy and bold. People have said, you know, he probably shouldn't wear that purple suit. It's distracting. He wears gold shoes, gold hats.
Majestic colors like heaven.
Oh yes. He'll always say, oh, purple for the royal God, or red for Jesus' blood. Or he likes. He's very tied into to God in all his dress. But he just thinks that his dream is to help others avoid what happened to him.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. Because he'd said that basically, you know, you said as a teenager, there was this kind of not living for God thing. And there was a point where he started asking God to do whatever it took, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To do whatever it took to get him back on track.
Yes, and when we pray for people we love who aren't saved, we'll say, whatever it takes, Lord. And Brent will say, but we hope it's not a head injury.
Yeah.
That makes sense. He's 39 now, or is he said 20? What's
he's 51. We've been living here with him for 30 years.
Wow. God bless you.
Wow.
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 Amazing.
You know,
I'm being quiet,
so
Randy. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying that's so important for people to understand, because we've all been through stuff, whatever it is, right? Darkness, this unbearable, whatever this thing is, where we're like, God, why? You know, whatever that season is in our lives, where and Monica and I have been through those. We've talked about this, you know. I think on this show, Natalie, a few times, but gone through seasons financially where, you know, you're just like, Lord, it doesn't seem like you're listening. You know, where are you? And in those dark places, man, we find the presence of Jesus more real than in any of the good times. And I think somebody once told me, and a pastor friend kind of explained it when I was talking about this season in our lives, you know, like, God loves us so much that he'll take away everything we think are first things so that we get it, that he's really it for us. He's the first thing that we should, you know, look to. It's not how we look or even our health or our wealth or our, you know, all this stuff, but it's him. And if he reduces us to just him, and in some ways people would look at that and go, yeah, he's been pretty much reduced to just Jesus, you know. But obviously in his state, he's found so much joy and purpose, way more than he had when he was not in this state, right?
He's literally the happiest person I know. He's literally, and he's very smart. You know, he's smarter than most people I know. I went to college. He's certainly smarter than I am. And he just tries to encourage people.
Wow. Amazing. He knows God has a plan on each one of us. Each one of us has a special, we each have special talents, so we each have something different to offer each other. It's just amazing how he knows to serve and to give back and to do and to teach and train is a huge gift. God has different, you know, marks on us, right? Not plans for us to. It's amazing, though, he knows the communication to God, too, that we pray and pray and pray, and God will answer our prayers. And that's amazing. It's always in his time, though. It's interesting to me how with Moses it took 40 years to go where he could have maybe gone in 2 years, right? But we do that in our life, right? I think about that in life. Like, why is it taking us? Now I'm starting to really get it, and I'm in my 50s. Why didn't I totally get it at 15 or 20? And there's a reason, you know?
There is. God will never leave us. He will always reel us in eventually. And it's easier if we swim with him instead of against him.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
Wow. We are talking with Patty McKee and talking about Brent, her son, traumatic brain injury at the age of 19, really has, you know, after many years of really kind of probably, as you know, as we talked about, kind of mourning the life he lost, realized that he's now living God's dream where he can communicate to other young people, you know, at schools. And the plan is to speak at churches and youth groups and, you know, Christian schools and talk to people who talk to kids who need to know that. And I think I love that he's wanting to do that to kids who are growing up in church or in Christian schools, because a lot of them are kind of maybe where he was prior to the accident, which is really, not my faith, you know, and maybe doing drugs or maybe whatever, and just not really kind of serving God. And I really feel like God's going to use him, and I'm really excited about it. Now, as far as the book goes, it's going to be out pretty soon, and then how can people get a hold of it?
Well, go to our website, comacure.com. We're going to self-publish. And we'll be taking orders through that. And like I say, it's a short book. There's about 36 chapters on each side. Each chapter's a couple, two, three pages. just to give you the flavor of where he was and where he is now and how God made that transformation. Like you say, he really wants to talk to the kids. He wants to make it easy for kids to read, but I've found that a lot of adults can understand that story too and want to change their lives. We never stop wanting to change our lives, really.
Not until we stop breathing, right?
God.
Breathing. They say it's never too late. Yeah. You know, you always say, it's too late for that person. Forget it. Stop trying. It's like, it's never too late,
Right. As long as we're here, God has a purpose for us too, and he's glorified through our transformation. So it's just wonderful to see Brent. Even now, he gets better and better, smarter. His heart's so big for other people, and that's what we're supposed to do, is to see people the way God sees them, not the way we see them. God always sees our best potential.
My hat's off to you, because you, as his mom, God saw what you would do, and you giving him the comfort and the cocoon, so to speak, you know, to grow and to keep on going and keep on going. That, my hat's off to you, because that's incredible. So you've been part of the whole journey, and the lifting him up as well as God lifts him up, right, as his mother. And not all mothers would do that. Not all mothers would hang in there. Not all mothers would do what you did. So that you deserve a ton of credit as well.
Wait, I have to say something, Natalie. I'm a great mother now because I was not a great mother the first time. Part of our story is what a bad mother I was, you know.
Wow.
Just really, really so far into my own. I went to school. I went back to school when I was 28. I was very focused on getting things for us, very focused on getting ahead. And, you know, when this happened, it was my makeup test. God gave me the makeup test for motherhood. And I have aced the makeup test, but it has not been easy.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Part of the ugliness of our story is we make mistakes, and God says, okay, well, let's do this over again. Okay.
Yeah.
That's like an Etch-a-Sketch board, right? We get to go, all right, start over.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Sometimes
love
first
things
are new every morning. Yeah.
Yes.
I love that. I am on the website right now, comacure.com. So it's comacure.com. And, wow, this is cool. It's got the blog. It's got the book. It's got the – I love this picture of you and Brent on a flower sofa from the 70s. This is pretty trippy looking, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh. It was very popular back then.
When he was a kid, yeah. And, man, I love this.
Yeah, he was hyperactive.
So I am so excited. Go ahead.
I can't wait to get a copy and pass it on, too.
Mm. Okay,
yeah.
Well, we're just finding someone to help us publish it. That's, you know, we don't mind
self-publishing.
But
self-publishing is the best way to go. It's absolutely the best way to go.
Yep.
And then go from there. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. No accidents, no coincidences, right? Like your son said.
No
coincidences.
Yeah.
No,
so,
and you know, Randy, the interesting thing is that can go right back to the fire, too, because people think that's a tragedy, and it was a tragedy. But you, when you talk to people, the story that comes through is miracle after miracle after miracle, and the way God moved, even in that fire, and even in our lives. There's never a time he's not coordinating things to his children, to those who cry out to him and believe. So I could not believe the number of miracles.
Patty, you being in real estate and everything, I've been in real estate forever, it seems. You know, I always say home is where the heart is, right? Even though our house is important, or could be a house, apartment, people could be renting, not buying. You know how a lot of people have stigmas. Oh, I'm only renting. I'm not buying. I can't buy. And it's like, well, that's okay. That's not, you know what I mean? There's so much that goes around this material world we live in, and people really need to get out of that. And it just makes me think loud and clear, although it's horrible to lose it. I mean, I can't speak of, you know, it's horrible, but it really shows us what's really important, right? And then to rebuild and just what you said, the miracles that have come out of it, to show us how life is so important, right? Community, kindness,
community.
All these things that you know, have more to do with our four walls, although we need our four walls. I'm not, you know, lessening any of that. But amazing.
Right. Yes, being a small mountain town, Paradise had community. Oh, my goodness. It was so amazing there, the way they cared for each other, the way they were good neighbors to each other. You know, in general, I just have never found any place
wow.
that I lived that was that concerned and caring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's
it's just
important
it's,
thing.
It's just as you drive around there, it just you know, I was driving back in the Bay Area yesterday and listening to all the political talk, you know, and all of the just the viciousness on both sides and how truly divided we are as a country.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to, and I thought about Abe Lincoln's quote where he said, you know, no one will ever be able to, you know, the only way, conquer America, the only way America will fall is from division from within. Now, Abe Lincoln said
mm-hmm.
that, and it's happening
yeah.
before our very eyes. It's literally happening. And I thought about Paradise as I was listening, and I was just praying because I'm going to get emotional here, but I just began to be just grieved for our country, like just because then they were bringing up the, you know, how evil these state legislatures, New York, Virginia, and others are now, you know, passing these new abortion legislation
where you can
kill babies even during the childbirth. Now it's no longer hiding. It's murder.
That's totally crazy to me. I don't even know how that can work. But it's
so. Yes, yeah, so I think about this, and I'm driving, and I don't know. All this, you know, the political, you know, vindictiveness and anger, partisanship, and the pure evil of how people are blinded. How can you not see that this is so evil? And then I thought about Paradise, Patty, and I thought about how, you know, people who survived the Paradise campfire and people who were in Chico and had a front row seat and continue to have a front row seat into watching, you know, we're not promised. We're just not promised that it's all going to end well before it ends well, if you know what I mean. You know, as
right.
believers in Jesus, we know that it will end well eventually. But who knows prior to that what's going to happen? And I think Paradise and the campfire is an example of that. There are people like you and hundreds, thousands of people who love God. We're doing amazing things. And in this quote-unquote act of God, lost everything, right? And
right.
it doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't. How would a loving God allow that?
Right.
Patty, speak
well,
to that for a minute.
I had an interesting concept that someone else voiced, and that was perhaps God blew us all to the wind to share Paradise with other areas.
With the world, huh? Yeah.
Because truly there were some wonderful people there doing wonderful things. We ourselves,
yeah.
the church, lost several ministers to other areas. And so to take that small town community feel of caring for each other like family into other areas can be part of God's plan. That's
yeah.
what he wanted to do.
Was there wasn't looting or anything like that? Like typically you have
no,
looting,
there is
have
looting.
Okay.
I don't want to say that.
I was
going to
say
there
typically you have all that in situations, but yeah.
You do. And, you know, there is a... there's an element up there, just like in any area, but it wasn't as prevalent as other areas. You know, there's
right.
an element up there you have to be careful about. So, and I wanted to say
yeah.
something about abortion since you brought that up, Randy. You know, Brent will thank me for not aborting him, and I tell him, thank God, not me, because as a 19-year-old unwed mother, I would have aborted my child in a heartbeat to avoid telling my mother.
Right.
And that
right.
was not legal. And I thank God every day that they did not pass a law that allowed me to do that. And I
right.
feel a huge heartbreak for these young people who are getting abortions because they're at a party, they're drunk, they have sex, they have a baby, and they don't want it, so they abort it.
It's a chain of events that should be different
for them. And if we had better laws, they would not be aborting these children. I don't want to say it's their fault, but, you know, we let them, we push them to do that.
I agree, though. I think some of them are so young, they don't know what they're doing. And when people say, oh, of course they know what they're doing, they don't know what they're doing at that age.
Mm-hmm.
And they get told so many stories about if it's really a baby yet or not a baby. It's crazy. And I think they should, at the very least, have women watch sonograms, you know, look at the baby inside and et cetera. But it's, to me, I can't believe we are living in this time and they're allowing abortions up to the ninth month. I mean, it's crazy. Mm. It's totally crazy.
Yeah. Yes, it's not intelligent. I once wrote a letter to the Times and they published it and someone called me trying to start an anti-abortion group, but they didn't want any whack job Christians in it. I said, well, I'll tell you this, but I am. But if there were no God, it would still be ridiculous that we would kill our own children. It would still be, you know, women have a responsibility. We are honored to be the portal of all human life.
Definitely.
And we don't take that honor seriously. So women should, should just be honored at that, that they get to do that.
And it just made, I was thinking about how people are blinded. I mean, that's what's going on. Is it literally, it is a spiritual thing that's happening that people can be so blinded that the New York State Legislature would stand up and cheer when that law passed. They would stand up and cheer.
It's just, you know, it's in the Bible. It says in the end times, I mean, we're going to see more and more of this, unfortunately, and it's pretty scary because knowledge is power, and if people are not willing to get in and dig in and learn and even get into the Bible, even if they want to dispute it, but at least take the time to get in and read and learn, it is sad. But I feel sorry for the young ones because, you know, I had a son at 17. My baby was 17 and a half, and he's 39 now, and you know, I know what it's like to be a teenager and scared to death and have no support. I did get married and divorced in my 20s, but I can tell you firsthand a lot of different stories in that sector that we don't have time to go into now either. But we don't, you know, and I was smart. I was smart in book smart. I was smart in school, et cetera, et cetera. But I wasn't smart in that area, you know, a few other times. And it just doesn't, we can't assume. And then life is so precious. And but God knows the story. God knows what the plan is. And that's the one thing that helps us who do believe when we're going through trials and tribulations to know that, hey, God, I trust you. I know you have a bigger plan here. I trust that you know, and have peace in knowing that there's more to this than I know. It's just difficult.
Yeah.
Right. It's actually so freeing when you follow the Bible. People act like it's restricting, but you don't have to worry about what side of an issue to be on. If it's in the Bible, you just know.
Exactly.
And it's
exactly.
always right.
Exactly. 100%. But I think what's really funny is people go, oh, it's a made-up story. It's from years ago. Da-da-da doesn't count. And it's like, yes, maybe it's been rewritten and rewritten, but Scripture's not. Scripture's there. And if they go in and they look at prophecy – and prophecy that's going on now, they can, oh, my God, that really happened. It's happening. Oh, that happened. You know, you can see it. And I think a lot of the people that dispute it, if you say, have you really ever read it? Most say no, or just a little bit, you know. And many people that have gone and disputed it, I like to use Lee Strobel as an example, who wrote A Case for Faith and A Case for Christ.
Oh, yeah.
He was like atheist almost, and his wife was saved, and then he was a Chicago Tribune journalist, and he went on a campaign basically to disprove the Bible, and guess what? He became a preacher, minister, so, you know, but it breaks my heart. But it's one of those things, I think it really is, and then you feel pain because somebody's not getting it, you know, it doesn't mean, you know, I don't like to say it's one way or the highway. I don't like to make somebody feel like I'm right and you're wrong, you know, type of thing. I just say, hey, learn, try to learn it, try to see, watch what happens, you know. I don't know. It's a tough subject.
Well, they sometimes get too bogged down in little things like, I always laugh. They didn't believe in the virgin birth, but now we can do that. Like, really? I mean, so now it's okay because we could do that. We could artificially inseminate somebody. So.
Right, exactly.
I laugh at it. They'll get upset about the Noah's Ark or something. I said, so you're okay with God creating the entire universe out of nothing, but you're worried about a boat with animals on it? So, you know, sometimes they
exactly.
just have the wrong perspective.
There's a lot of parables, you know, and metaphors and things that yeah, and like you said, it makes life so simple. People go through and they're so stressed, and it's like, how would you like to have a book, a guidebook that can, like, kind of, if you just follow it, see how you feel after a year. Just check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we'll pay for thousands and thousands of dollars for this course and that course and this course, or go to this school and this course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, you know, and it's like, how would you like that? What do we think? You know, so I don't know. But I'm not one to, you know, I've had a lot of trials and tribulations. But thank God I've always had my faith, because I wouldn't be here. I know I wouldn't be here, because he's carried me through quite a lot and still carries me through. But, wow, this is wonderful.
Yeah. So, Patty.
Oh, thank you.
Patty, you are. Are you still in? Are you still? Is the Century 21 office in Paradise? Has it regrouped?
Well, we are working out of the Chico office because our broker owned more than one office. So he owns many, so that's burned to the ground. They haven't cleaned it up yet, but we're quite a few of us are still working out of the Chico office. So
great.
It's been great. We're blessed to have so many people moving over and, you know, doubling up for us and giving us some space, giving us some help, and being, you know, just being patient, because when you go through this, almost everyone has a little PTSD. We just have a little bit of, you know, we feel like we got knocked off our horse and we're trying to get back on. But, so it's kindness. The kindness of others. In fact, I have not cried about my losses. That was all God's to pick anyway.
Really?
But I cry when people are mean to me, or are nice to me. When people are nice to me, it just gets me, and I start crying because they're so nice.
Right. And you're so thankful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, absolutely. So thanks for pushing the coma cure. Brent will be so excited. He just, you know, as I told you, Randy, I said something to him once a couple of years ago about, your book. And he goes, Mom, it's not my book. It's God's book. And that's the way he looks at everything. It's all God's. We want to do something for God. And he needs, you know, to get us out there. Okay. And as you say, the church needs more help. If we could light the church up like a torch, then the rest of the country would follow. We don't have to convert everybody out there.
God moves mountains. God moves mountains, and with God under our wings, right? And there's nothing that can't be accomplished, you know. And it's so beautiful. Your son's so giving and understands the serving part of it, you know. And it all comes back. And you know, it's just it's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, see, God's not finished yet. He's got a big plan, and I think it's going to end up. It's going to end up pretty well, you know. It's amazing. It's so good.
It is.
But the one big thing I think we have to learn is to forgive. You know, it's really hard sometimes to forgive when you've been abused or attacked and attacked and attacked by the abusers. You know, there's a lot of things going on. And that non-forgiveness really does hurt us. I've lived it. It really does topple us if we allow it to fester and continue. And Jesus has a lot of lessons he teaches us, you know, which is just amazing.
When I have trouble with forgiveness, Natalie, I always just try to sit down and think about all the stinky things I've done. I try to think of all the things that I've done in my life that were less than kind. You know, sometimes our sins are not getting drunk or promiscuity or things like that. It's just not being nice to somebody. It's just gossip. There are other things we do in life, and so I just try to focus on all the things I'm so grateful that God forgave me for, because in my life, I have lots of those things, so it helps me
that's a good way
be
to
more
do it.
Forgiving.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
I love, Patty, what you said when we were talking about, you know, real estate and, you know, and selling and, you know, you going to some of the seminars and, you know, it's just, you enjoy, and I think this is where I think you and Natalie would really relate, because you know you what you enjoy about the real estate is being able to be a part of people's lives, and that you're just more excited about selling Jesus really than real estate,
you know, of communicating.
Another again at selling, but Jesus is, you know, the only good thing that you can always be sure everybody needs. So
yeah, I call real estate a vehicle. I do. All these years I say real estate is a vehicle. It's my ministry,
I've become very rich in friends through real estate. Not so rich in money, but very rich in friends. So
that's
kind of like.
Well, thank you. Can we just end with a little word of prayer? Would that be okay?
Oh, wonderful. That's
cool.
Wonderful.
Yeah, you and Brent and the new direction Lord, we just pray that God, you would continue to teach us all what we're to learn from the Paradise Fire. Lord, on the face of it, it feels so sad. It feels so heartbreaking. It feels so, in some ways, still very shocking and numbing, as Patty's described. Lord, not in some ways even being able to grieve yet what's happened, but God, just continue to teach us as we lean in and say, we don't understand it. Our ways aren't your ways aren't our ways. You're God, we're not. We admit it, and boy, there's peace in that. When we can just say, gosh, we're going to rest in the fact that Father knows best, that you do know best, that you love us more than we love ourselves. And we pray for Brent and his venture and Patty, and that you'd open doors, that schools and churches, youth groups, Christian music festivals, whatever, God, that there would be open doors for him to share this story of you doing what you're doing in his life. Because, Lord, I know that there are church youth groups and Christian schools full of kids who aren't serving you, have no desire to, because they've been raised, Lord, in their parents' faith, and it's not their own yet. And so they're rebelling. And I really believe, like, you've raised Brent up to speak to these kids. And so, Lord, we just say open doors. Thank you for his hearing you. Thank you for, Lord, all of the stuff, the tough stuff we go through in life, because, Lord, it is. It's for our good. And so we just lean in and we say, we trust you, we love you, we thank you, and Lord, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess that's okay to pray, huh, Natalie?
Thank you. Amen, of course. That's one thing I love about having my own businesses, right, and doing the other. I always go, you know what, they can't fire me, ha, ha, ha. They talk about God all the time. You know, I'm serious. I'm just like, this is just, you know, Yeah, thank you, Randy. Thank you so much for coming on, Patty. And we will definitely be pushing the book and what your son's doing. And as soon as it's ready, I'm going to get a copy. I guess if you let us know or let Randy know, so we know when to push it out there, too. I'd love
it. Okay, great. I will. Thank you.
And maybe we could do some real safe referrals, too. We do that. That's like a natural thing we do. Thank you.
That's the tent making. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Patty. God bless.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. But to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.